thought for today. We are wisely made. We cannot pat our own back nor kick ourselves too easily. We are wisely made. We cannot pat our own back nor kick ourselves too easily. Wisely made. We cannot pat our back or kick ourselves too easily. Giving ourselves credit for things can get us into trouble, and blaming ourselves for things can get us in trouble. So let's just start out by saying we won't do that. Now, when we pat ourselves on the back, we are obnoxious. People look at us and they say, yeah, you know, Ellen gets on my case. I go around telling a little about my background, especially when I'm, for instance, with friends in other countries. And as I am in the Philippines and I am mentioning to them about my background in United Church Religious Science and Unity and these various things, she thinks, hey, you know, you're just trying to toot your horn, trying to blow your horn, Gabriel, you know, to let them know how wonderful you are. Quite the contrary. I am putting myself on their level because they are or were and are Unity students. They are religious science students. And if they think that I studied the same thing that they did, then they think I have simpatico with them. I have understanding with them. I have compassion with their way of looking at things and thinking things. They don't know that I am me, the fabulous, wonderful me, as each of us are the fabulous, wonderful me. And that anything that I add to my life only enhances my wonderful me-ness. And the same with you. Every experience you've ever had in your life enhances the magnificence of the being that you are. And that's wonderful. So, but they don't stop to think that. They only stop to think, hey, you understand unity. You understand religious science. You understand these things. And that's true, I do. I do understand them. But in the same light, then they more readily accept what I have to say without thinking that it is off the wall, that it is something way out, beyond understanding. And so when I say to them that God is over all, in all, through all, as all, and we are God. You see, if I say, I am God, then that's fine. But now, what God am I? Am I the God of the Christians, the Jews? Am I the God of the Hindus, the Pharaoh's God? What God am I? There are many, many gods, all capitalized. The Hebrew God is capitalized, the Christian God is capitalized, all these are capitalized. But when I say I am God, am I the Hebrew God, the Christian God, the Hindu God? What kind of God am I? Am I the Islam God? Am I the Buddhist God? What God am I, you know? Well, I'm lowercase God. I am God that's over all, through all, as all, in all, and all. I am God, the universal. I am not the Hindu God, the Christian God, the Buddhist God. I am not those things. Because their God, if I may say their God is limited. Now, why do I say it's limited? Well, it's really not limited. But their God has one difficulty with it. It is pronounced their God. It belongs to them. It is their sacred God. The God of the Hebrews is not the God of the Christians, even though it is the God of the Christians. But the Hebrew God has always been separate and has always been unique unto itself. And the Hebrew God has fought with all the other gods of the land and has put them in their place, which is the law of cause and effect, of course. The Christian God is about the most miserable God you could ever want. Because that God created the Crusades and created people going down the coast of Europe, killing people who would not believe in that God. They took man, woman, and children, slaughtered them wholesale, threw their bodies into the street, headless, armless. They just had fun slaughtering. They were innocent people, people who believed in themselves, but they created themselves at that time, in that place, for that experience, as is always the case. The Hindu God, the Polynesian God, the Buddhist God, all of these gods, they all have peculiarities about them. We are taught, God said, I am one God. I am the universal. I am the all. I am the creator and I am the created. Now, and everything that I created is me, and I am everything that I created. You see, when we get to that point, we no longer pat ourselves on the back. Because God, if you can conceive of God patting himself on the back, it would be ludicrous. Because it is all. And it needs no appreciation. It needs no awareness. It needs nothing to say to it that it is the all. And it's a very tough and a very unique situation. So, we cannot kick ourselves around the block because we haven't done something properly. Because we don't deserve to kick ourselves around the block. The world should do it, not us. If we make an error of any kind, big or little, we say, that's not what I want to do, and put a new cause in motion, and that error no longer is extant. If the sins of the parents are visited upon the children, it's only because of two possibilities. One possibility is the gene structure, which is visited upon the children and has a tendency to manipulate their body. And the other, the mental attitudes of the parents, can be visited upon the children if the children will allow that to happen. We are poor, we are humble, we are weak, we are nothing. And the children say, I will not accept that. I am me. And poof! Joseph was thrown into the hole by his brothers, and his coat of many colors was taken from him. And then he was sold to a merchant who went to Egypt. And the merchant sold him to the Egyptian court. And soon in the Egyptian court, because Joseph was so remarkable, the Pharaoh himself called upon him and said, come and give me my fortune. And Joseph was able to give him his fortune. He listened within and told the king simple things. And at one point the king was ready to behead him because he didn't like what he heard. But what he told him happened so quickly that he had to believe it. And he believed him and made Joseph the high court vizier, the wise men of the court. And he made him the person in charge of all the food, all the granaries. And Joseph put aside enough food for 7 years. And then the 7-year drought came, and they were ready for it. And the Pharaoh believed in him. The Pharaoh took him on as his favorite son. How could he go from being thrown in a pit and sold into slavery by his brothers to rising so high? Because that was his nature. He had been his father's son and his father's favorite son. And his father gave him the coat of many colors because he was a remarkable man. But the brothers hated him and wanted to destroy him. And they could not destroy him, and he instead rose to great fame. And then what happened to him? Many other wonderful things. Read the Bible stories, they're quite interesting. But read them with an open heart and open mind, knowing that they're the story of the religious development of a people. Think of these things. think of these things. You know the story of the baby Moses, don't you? Can anyone tell me what it is? Quickly. Where did he start out?
The river. In the basket.
Okay. He was put in a basket to float down the river to escape being killed by the Pharaoh. And where did he end up?
Well, he was not thought to end up. In the Pharaoh's family.
In the Pharaoh's family as a favorite son. And what did he end up doing? He ended up taking all the slaves out of Egypt. Now, if you didn't have more difficulties than these guys faced, their stories, and they may well be true, but if you didn't have difficulties as tough as these guys faced, you're not working hard enough. Because, I mean, who were they? They were glorious people who liked themselves, and they did not see themselves as slaves. They did not see themselves as limited. They did not see themselves as in any way inhibited. They just took each step at a time and walked that step perfectly. Each little way that they went, they did it perfectly. Each little way. How do you think Moses liked his little ride in the basket?
He loved it.
He loved it. Right. And who was there taking care of him? His sister. You know? And he floated down the river. But, you see, nothing could be more difficult than this. I mean, here this poor child being chased by the Pharaoh to be killed because he was a Hebrew, you know. And he rode free over the top. You think you have difficulties at times. You think you have trying circumstances that test the mettle of greater beings than yourself. But you don't. However you look at your test is however the test is for you. Now, how do you look at the tests of your life? Do you look at the tests of your life from the point of view that, hey, I'm not thinking this is a test. I must do this thing, and I just do it. John has to go into the kitchen in the morning and make eggs. So he made some eggs. And he made them however he made them. And he gave everybody sunny-side-up eggs, and he gave Sylvia a sunny-side-down egg. And Sylvia, instead of saying, "Thank you, John," and then going quietly to him afterwards and saying, "John, I prefer sunny-side-up eggs, too, whenever you make them. Thank you." She just said, "I don't want to eat these damn eggs. Take them away." You know. And so everyone wanted to share their sunny-side-up eggs with her because they didn't want her to feel sad. But she had a test. She had a test to see how she would handle the eggs that she didn't like that were turned upside down. And she could so easily go and say to John afterwards, "John, my favorite is sunny side up eggs. But Herb, you do it that way. You just say, I don't want these eggs." You know? "And what do you all think of me when I do that? What do you all think of me? I do that as an illustration for you to see how miserable that looks, how careless and unkind that looks." Could any of you ever say that John cooks with the lack of love? Could you ever say that John doesn't give his very best to whatever he does? There are times he doesn't, that's true. But could you ever say that? You shouldn't. No. You shouldn't, and you cannot say it. But let's always remember that we are the masters. And we created that little experience for ourselves to see how we would respond to it, to see how we would take it. And you're not the teachers here. I would like to reemphasize that to you. You are not the teachers here. You're the students. And the day you think you're the teacher, then I must go, because you don't need me anymore. But as long as you need me, I'm here. And you are the student. And if you can remember that, it takes a little humility to remember that. If you can remember, you're here as a student. Now the day will come when you may become a teacher. But I'm a practitioner, and I talk on the phone, and I help people, and I heal people, and people, their whole life has changed. Oh, that's so wonderful. You've learned 2 times 2 is 4, and you should be so proud of that. But what about 2 times 12? What about 12 times 1600? What about 3 million times 4 million? That's easy.
Yeah.
But what about 3 million, and then vary it out? But you see, don't be too self-proud, because before the pride comes what?
The pride.
Yeah, yeah. Those who have pride usually end up at the bottom of the heap. So be very gentle. We are wisely made. We cannot pat our own backs, nor can we kick ourselves too easily. Remember that. Remember that. You should never kick yourself. Because if you kick yourself, you're saying, I should have known that. I should have known better. Well, you didn't. You didn't. And now you do. Now, if you do it again, then off with your head. First time, maybe 3 times. Then you're out. Then off with your head. Alice in Wonderland wouldn't allow that. The Queen would say, off with your head, off with your head, before she even heard what the story was. And that's what we do. We say, off with our head, before we even know what the story is. And we kick ourselves for having done something silly before we even stop and say, hey, I don't like that. I'm going to do it differently from here on. I'm going to do it this way. And then we learn our lesson. You know, in the early days, the people who lived in the pioneer days or pre-pioneer days here in the United States, the Indians. The Indians didn't have Dr. Holland around to balance their looks. The Indians didn't have Dr. Kwok around to take care of their general medical needs. The Indians didn't have these things. But the Indians had the greatest doctor that ever lived. But they didn't always listen to him. The Indians had the doctor within them. And they would say, they wouldn't say necessarily, but they would have a headache. And so the doctor within them would guide them over to the tree to chew on its bark. And as it chewed on the bark of the tree, it had aspirin in the bark. And the aspirin alleviated the headache. They thought of various other needs for their body. And various herbs and drugs were brought to their attention as tea, or as the weeds of the field. And in those weeds were the medical things that assisted them in the balance of their body. Now that was that. The divine works for us in that way too. And of course sometimes they say, if a little is good, a lot's better. You know, and their divine says, just take the little tip of the leaf and chew it, need it, the tip of the leaf only. And so, as they would say, a little is good, a lot is better, they wouldn't listen to the divine within, and they'd take a big bite of nightshade. And what happened to them?
Died.
Their shade was pulled. They died. See, whereas a little bit of nightshade has medicinal purposes, very beneficial for the body in many areas. Nightshade is a very deadly poison, and it grows everywhere. And people can hurt themselves with it. Now, true, the wise one, the wise being, would listen within and would say, all right, I have this headache, I don't want this headache, what do I do? And the first thought that would come to them would be to relax and be at peace. And the second thought comes to them, go to this What is the name of that tree that the aspirin is in? It's a, like a cinnamon tree or something like that. You know, it's a special tree that's common in the world. And so, first thought is relax. Second thought is go and get some bark. Now the third thought is beat your head against the stone, you know. And the fourth thought is shoot yourself, and so forth. And the fifth thought is to be mean and terrible to the rest of the world because you feel terrible. You see, these thoughts go through your head. And being honest with yourself, you have to admit that they do, and they go through just like that. So if we could listen to our first thought, which says, relax, lay down, be at peace for a few moments, and poof, it's gone. Or, second thought, go get the aspirin, poof, it's gone, etc. You see, we are wisely made. We can listen within ourselves and know all things. We can listen within ourselves and know all truth. Now you say, Herb, why are you always picking on Sylvia? Why are you always picking on Sylvia? Well, Sylvia is such a good illustration. I could pick on the rest of you too. Would you like that? Would you like to be the illustration? Little loves putting up his head there and saying, yeah, I'd like to be the illustration. Anything for attention. And that's about it. Anything for attention. Sylvia is creating herself as the illustration for attention. Now, the day will come when Sylvia doesn't care anymore about attention, and she just learns and listens and does these things, and she's untouched by it. The day comes when Ellen, too, is not touched by me using her as an illustration. And it's coming pretty quick now. She's working on it very diligently. And Anita, that day is a long way away yet, but it'll come. When you're not touched by the things that the world says or that I say about you. When you are but hey, it can come in a snap. Just because it's a long way off doesn't mean that it can't come in a snap. Because it can come in a snap in our awareness when we say, hey, I like me. I'm all right. End of story. You know? Nothing else is of matter, is of concern. I like me. I'm happy with me. I give you that example in myself all the time. Right? And John, does he like himself? Basically. John has a few little hang-ups yet, and those hang-ups are when he doesn't like himself. Those hang-ups are when he thinks, God, I should be so much further along. I've worked so hard, and I'm so diligent, and I'm so responsible and capable. I should be further along. Well, when you stop saying, I should be further along, you'll be there. But as long as you keep saying, I should be further along, you won't recognize it when it hits you with a 10-foot pole, you know. And so you want to just be relaxed and at ease and peaceful. And the same with Ingeborg here. Ingeborg, she just keeps chasing it away. Every time her divine nature, in all its purity, starts pouring all over her, she keeps washing it off. She's, I'm not used to this. I'm not used to all this praise. I'm not used to all this goodness. Well, get used to it. It's your nature. Let it be. Don't wash it away. Now, we're not like the sister act where I will follow him wherever he goes. No, no, no. Anyone want to do it?
I will follow me wherever I go. Amen.
Terrific, terrific. Do you see why it's so important for us to rewrite these songs? Why it's so important for us to rewrite the words. The music is charming. Mm-hmm. The concept is wonderful. But you just have to change the person. Why should we follow anything outside of ourselves? Now, theoretically, they meant the divine within them. But because they said him, everyone thinks of God up on cloud nine, or Jesus the Christ, you know. Very noble things to think about, that's for sure. But what is it all about? And you didn't even tell me, did you? You didn't even know, did you? You knew, but you didn't tell me. You're so silly. I could have gotten much more powerful in your face if you told me. But you didn't need me powerful in your face, did you? Loving, mellow, gentle, kind, harmonious, peaceful. Think about these things. We are wisely made. We cannot pat our own back, nor can we kick ourselves too easily. Now, how are you going to go from this point on? How are you going to allow yourself to be disturbed? Are you going to be yourself and have fun? Are you going to look at life and say, everything is what I make it? Are you going to look at life and say, I am Moses in the little boat sailing down the Nile, and my sister is checking on me from the shore, but there are crocodiles in the Nile that could easily open up and take that little boat inside. Crocodiles have eaten many children along the Nile. That's why they worship the crocodiles, because so many of their children are inside. But the boat sailed because Moses knew who he was from the very beginning. How did he know who he was? Well, because he knew from inside, and his mother told him. His mother said, you are divine. You are wonderful. You will live. You have a destiny to fulfill. You are great. You are wonderful. She was guided by an inspiration within her to know that this Moses was very special. We know from within ourselves that we too are very special. You are not here at this university. You are not here on this campus dedicating your life 100% to walking your spiritual path for nothing. I reiterate, not one single thing you do here is important. Not one single thing you do here on campus is important. Not one single thing you do here is important. It is only important how you do what you do. Understand? Only how you do what you do. Because everything we do here is immaterial. If it stopped today, the world would not probably even give a bat an eye about it. Everything you do here is for you and you alone. What is your attitude about what you're doing? Sylvia, are you bugged by me getting on your back? If you are, then forget it. Get over it. Change your attitude. Ellen, you get shook up because I don't write an article for somebody that I really am not happy about. And you want to pressure me into it because you promised it to them. Well, write it yourself. Don't get shook up about it. Don't get shook up about anything. I am using everything as a way of irritating the living hell out of you guys, if I can, so you can be untouched. So you can be masters of yourself. And you, if I can get you to cry, I love it. Because then I am your master. I am your God. And for you to leave me be your God very long is a silly thing. Because you're a much better God of yourself than I could ever be for you, okay? Don't get with it. And you, John. You do a lot of little things. I asked you when you were driving the motorhome, I said, John, here in California, the law is that you turn on your lights when it's twilight. And you didn't instantly reach down and turn on your lights. You had to wait and say, I'm going to do it my own goddamn good time. And you did. And I thought to myself, boy, such little lessons I give him, and he makes such a big fuss out of them. Instead of just instantly doing whatever I ask you to do. I haven't pulled my games over you yet. like I do with Stefan, putting my hands in front of his eyes while he's driving. You know? But Stefan's been with me a little longer, so he's accustomed to that. But be ready. Be ready. We are wisely made. We cannot pat our own back nor kick ourselves too easily. We cannot pat our own back or kick ourselves too easily. We're very wisely made. Now, take the opportunity here, which says, what we do is unimportant. How we do what we do is all. I love you.